Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I'm Lon, and we're so glad that you've joined us for our teaching in the Bible this week. And we're going to do a Christmas message this week because Christmas is coming up this coming week, but it's from the Gospels. So it's in keeping with our study of the Gospels, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I'm so excited about the new vaccine that's out and being administered already. My oldest son, who works at Bethesda Naval Hospital in Walter Reed now, has already received it. My younger son, who works at a hospital in North Carolina, is going to be receiving it. And I hope that it's going to get rolled out to me and Jill and Brenda as soon as possible and to you. So let's praise God for this amazing mercy to the human race that he has shown us in giving us a way to deal with this dreaded virus. What a gift he's given us for Christmas to give us this vaccine. So, here we go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy to the human race, even though we don't deserve it. We thank you for your mercy to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. And we thank you for the fastest vaccine development in the history of the world, and that it's not just a concept now, it's reality. So Lord, use this vaccine, I pray, to bring this pandemic to an end, to defeat this virus, and Lord, to restore life as normal to the human race. Father, we also want to thank you for the many people who worked on this virus so hard, and for those who are working so hard now in our hospitals and our nursing homes to administer it at CVS and Walgreens pharmacies. God bless these servants for their wonderful sacrifice and service to the human race. And now, Lord, we commit our time in the Word of God to you as we look forward to Christmas. Encourage our hearts this week with the message of Christmas from the Bible. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, this really is a Christmas gift, this vaccine that the Lord has given us. But it doesn't compare to the greatest gift that he ever gave the human race and you and me. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to talk about this Christmas gift as it's explained to us in the greatest verse, perhaps, in the entire Bible. And I'm talking, of course, about John 3:16. You know, we see posters in football games with John 3:16 hanging over the front ledge of the stands. But I wonder how many of us have ever actually heard a sermon on John 3:16. We've heard the verse mentioned, but how many of us have ever heard an entire sermon on this verse? Well, in almost 50 years of being a believer, other than myself preaching on it, an entire sermon, I'm not sure I've ever heard an entire sermon on John 3:16. Maybe it's so familiar that people just don't feel it's important or necessary to preach on it, but I do. And so this is our text for today. And John 3:16 comes in four chunks. There are four great truths contained in this verse, and each one of them forms a chunk of the verse. So we're going to look, because we're exegetical in our preaching, and we're expositional in our preaching, and we do the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible in our preaching. And we do it word for word. Because of that, we're going to take each chunk and look at the chunks together and then put them all together when we're done. And wow, what a great time this is going to be. So without any further ado, let us begin with John 3:16. And remember, a text without a context is a pretext. John 3:16 is part of a conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, the great rabbi. We'll talk about him when we get to John chapter 3 later in our series. And this is what he says, John 3:16. And of course, New King James, here we go. All right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That was chunk 2. That whoever believes in him, that's chunk 3, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's chunk or truth number 4. So, let's take them apart and look at them one at a time. First, for God so loved the world. This is truth number 1. Many times we need people who have the belief that God, if he exists, is separated from his world, that he takes no part in his world, that he is ambivalent in his feelings towards the world. In fact, many people will say God really just lets the world run itself and doesn't have any feelings about the world or the human race. This is patently untrue. This is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God has a strong feeling about the world. He has a very strong emotion about the world. He has a very strong emotion and feeling about the human race. And what is that? For God so what? Loved the world. This is the word agape. God so loved the world with his godlike love. And so God is not neutral about you, my friend. He is not neutral about me. He is not neutral about the people who inhabit this globe. He has a very strong commitment to loving you, me, and the world. Now, second truth, God so loved the world that he did something. And what did he do? Look, for God so loved the world that he, what's the next word? Say it with me, say it. That he gave his only begotten son. Now, the word here, only begotten, is a Greek word, monogenēs, but only begotten is a possible translation, but probably not the best translation into English. The word monogenēs, the genēs, the G-E-N part, only has one N in Greek, monogenēs. There is a verb in Greek with two N's, genao, two N's, which means to give birth. And this is what the translators of the original King James Bible thought that this adjective came from. Mono meaning only, and genao, two N's, meaning to give birth. Therefore, only birthed or only begotten. But actually, the word that is translated here, only begotten, only has one N. And the second half of the word, with one N, G-E-N, just one N, comes from the Greek word for kind, or species, or category, that we get our English word genus from. Those of you who took biology, you remember they have, you know, they come down all the thing and then they have the genus and the species. And the genus is spelled with one N. It comes from this Greek word, which means kind or category or type. And so really a more accurate translation here would be that God gave his mono, his one of a genus, kind, one of a category, one of a kind son. And Jesus is God's one-of-a-kind son. There'll never be another son like him. There'll never be another being like him. He, as we know, is God in the flesh. He is the second person of the Godhead wrapped in human flesh. He is the creator of the world, the sustainer of the world, Hebrews 1 tells us. The owner of the world, Hebrew 1 tells us, who by his power runs this world and this universe. So Another fine translation is God gave us his one of a kind, his unique son. Now, the verb here, though, is what I want us to also mention. The word gave. The Bible doesn't say that God so loved the world that he offered us his son. The Bible doesn't say that God so loved the world that he made his son available to us if we can earn him. The Bible doesn't say that God so loved the world that he gave us an option of his son. No, no. He said that the Bible says God so loved the world that regardless what we do or don't do, God gave us something. He gave us his son as a gift. Jesus Christ is a gift to the world. And what he did on the cross is a gift to the world. And what he purchased for us on the cross, our salvation and our forgiveness of sin and our entry into heaven, is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't merit it. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. It is a free gift that God gives to the human race. And just to show you that, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. Turn with me, or just listen as I go there, to 1 John chapter 5. And I want you to see that reiterated here in verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has, say the next word, say it, has given us eternal life. Again, he didn't make it available, and he didn't offer it to us if we could work hard enough for it. No, he gave us, he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son, verse 12, has life, the eternal life we're talking about. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. Friend, how can you say it any simpler than that? Now watch. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. My friend, is that you? Is that you? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If so, this is for you, that you may what? Know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. Wow. God wants every one of us to know that we have eternal life. And how did we get it? Friends, we got it by believing, and we'll talk about that in a minute, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we did, what did God do? He gave us eternal life as a gift for believing that comes with believing in his son. All right, chunk three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or his one-of-a-kind son, here comes, that whoever believes in him. That whoever believes in him. That's truth number three. And the word here to believe is the Greek word pistuo. Pistuo does not mean to believe with your head, intellectually. That is not what this word means. This word means to rely upon, to depend upon, to put your weight on someone, to trust them to do what they say. This is the word pistuo. And I remember when I was a young Christian, I had a terrible time trying to understand the dynamics of what it meant to believe in Jesus. And until it was explained to me that believing in Jesus means relying on Jesus. You say, relying on Jesus to do what? Relying on Jesus to do what he said. And what did Jesus say? Well, let's look at the last verse in John chapter 3. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son will not see everlasting life, but the wrath, the anger, the judgment of God abides on him. We'll come back to that verse in a moment. But that verse says, he who believes, who relies on, who depends on, who puts his weight on the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us on the cross, has everlasting life. And this is what pistuo means. This is what believing in Jesus means. It means you no longer depend on yourself, rely on yourself, trust in yourself to get everlasting life, but instead you transfer your trust off of anything you could ever do or I could ever do and onto what Jesus did for us on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for our sin. And we rely on that. We depend on that. We put our full confidence in that as our payment for sin and our entry into heaven. This is what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, this gift that God gave the human race of his one-of-a-kind Son is given to those and only those who believe, who rely on, who depend on, who put their confidence in, who rest on and rest in what Christ did for them on the cross as their payment of sin and entry into heaven. Those are the only people who get this gift, to whom God gives this gift. The gift is available to everybody, but you've got to accept the gift. You've got to qualify for the gift, and the way we do that is by putting our trust in Christ. Then we don't work for our salvation. Then we don't earn our salvation. Now, then we don't somehow merit our entry into heaven. No, it's a gift, but it only is given to those who believe in Christ. You know, I've had the UPS person and the FedEx person and the DHL person, I don't want to leave anybody out, the Prime person, Amazon Prime, coming to my front door this Christmas season and delivering all kinds of gifts. But when I go to the door, I've got two choices. I can either reach out and take the gift and accept the gift, in which case it's mine. Or I can say, I'm sorry, I'm not signing for that and I don't want it. You say, well, why would you not take a, why would you do that? Well, I don't know, that'd be kind of foolish, wouldn't it? But I have that option when I go to the door, and if I say I don't want the gift, then I don't get it. Is it really a gift? Yeah. Is it really free for me? Yeah. If I decided to reach out and take it, would it be mine? Yeah. But if I decide not to take it, then it's not mine. And this is the way it works with salvation and with the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. The gift is available. A God standing at your front door offering it to you. Not just on Christmas, every day of the year, every moment of every day of the year. But folks, we have to accept the gift. We have to appropriate it. We have to reach out and take it and willingly make it ours in order for that gift to become effectual and operative in our life. And if you've never done that, I mean, maybe you've been going to church all your life or you've been singing in the choir or whatever, but you've never reached out and transferred your trust onto Christ and taken that gift that God's offering you when you do that, then friends, you've been all around the mulberry bush, but you ain't in it. You got to get in the mulberry bush. And that is done by embracing this gift. And we're able to do that when we give our heart in life and trust what Jesus did for us on the cross. Do we understand? Okay, now, chunk number four. For God so loved the world that he gave his one-of-a-kind Son, that whoever believes in him, relies on him, watch, here it comes, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's the last chunk, which tells us what our options are, so we can make an intelligent decision. Our options are we perish or we get everlasting life. That's it. There used to be a game show, and I think it's still on, called Let's Make a Deal. And there would be three curtains on the stage, and the contestant would be asked, now, do you want what's behind curtain number one? Do you want what's behind curtain number two? Or do you want what's behind curtain number three? Friends, when it comes to the afterlife, there are not three curtains. There are only two. There is perishing, damnation, hell. We talked about this a week or so ago. The lake of fire, the gnashing of teeth, the horrible agony of hell, and the other option is heaven, with all of its beauty in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are our options. That's it. Nothing else. There's no third curtain, like let's make a deal, to choose from. It's one or the other. And you and I are going to go to one or the other based on what we do with Jesus Christ, the gift that God offered us. Do we take it? Do we reject it? It's just that simple. Hey, you say, this is too simple. No, it isn't. God wants the gospel to be so simple that even a little child can understand it. And my son James accepted Jesus before he was 3 years old. It was so simple he could understand it. My son Justin accepted Jesus when he was 3 years old, just about to turn four. It was so simple he could understand it. In John 2, the gospel's not meant to be complicated. It's so simple that we try to make it hard because we're educated beyond our intelligence. Most of our preachers are. Gospel's simple. You rely on Jesus and what he did on the cross, and I will give you eternal life and heaven. That's the gospel. Just that simple. But those are our only options. Perishing or eternal life. And I sure hope you'll choose eternal life, my friend, and that you have chosen eternal life. Now, that's the end of our verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one-of-a-kind son, that whoever relies on him and what he did for them on the cross will not perish in hell, but will have, because I'm going to give it to him, as we saw in 1 John 5, I'm going to give it to him, eternal life. But there is a very important word that we have to cover before we stop. And I want you to look with me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one-of-a-kind son that, what's the next word? Say it. Say it. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that word. Whoever. Whosoever in the old King James. What this means is that the gospel message is open to whoever. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what you've said, doesn't matter what you've thought, it doesn't matter what crime you've committed, it doesn't matter what horrible things you may have done. I did horrible things before I came to Christ, including forcing my girlfriend to have an abortion that she didn't want to have. I killed my oldest child, who would be somewhere in the range of 51 years old right now. Horrible things I did, and worse. But you know what? The good news? I was still a whoever. Yeah, I was. I was still whoever. And that means the gospel was still open to me as whoever. And I don't care what you've done or where you've been or how horrible you've been. You are still whoever. And that means that this deal is for you. This gift that the Lord's offering is for you. Please don't ever say, I'm so bad, I just don't think God would even take me now. As long as you're whoever, and you are, God will always make this deal with you if you'll trust Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That whoever believes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Christmas is all about this gift. The greatest gift ever given. Now, that leads us in the last couple minutes we've got to our final question. And you know what that question is. And we couldn't celebrate Christmas without it. So are you ready? This is a Christmas. So what? You ready? Come on now. One, two, three. So what? Yeah, that's right. How... what? How sweet it is. You say, Lon, I'm already a believer. What's the so what for me here? This is great. And I hope people listening that are not believers will give their life to Christ. But what difference does it make to me? Well, let me just close by saying that the key word here for us as believers today is the word gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. Friends, I want to remind you this Christmas that everything that you have, God gave you and has given you. The health that you have, God's given it to you. The skills you have, God gave them to you. The abilities you have, God gave them to you. Thus, the intelligence you have, God gave it to you. All of the material things that you have, God gave them to you. You say, no, they didn't. No, he didn't. I went out and worked for him. I went to school and I studied. Yeah, but my friends, if you didn't have the skills you had and you didn't have the smarts that you had and you didn't have the abilities that you have and you didn't have the health that you have, you wouldn't have been able to go out and work for these things. No, I'm sorry. Every single thing you and I have, God gave to you and me. And that means this Christmas that there should be an incredible, overflowing sense of gratitude that we have to the Lord Jesus Christ for his benevolent, unmatched mercy to us in all that he's given us. You know, I was talking to my son Justin just the other day on the phone, and he had been given a raise. My son John, too, also was given a raise. But my son Justin, I was talking to, and I said to him, Justin, that's wonderful, but don't be like the 9 lepers. And you know the story. Jesus healed 10 lepers in Luke 17. We're going to get there. And only one came back to say thank you. And in typical Jewish humor, he goes, I thought I healed 10 lepers. Where are the other 9? Yes, that's funny. So the other 9 never came back to say thank you. You say he healed them from leprosy. They never came back to say thank you. That's crazy. Well, it is. But we do the same thing. God does all these wonderful things for us. Every single day he gives us life and health and he gives us success and he provides for us. And how often do we say thank you? And I said to my son, Justin, Justin, look, other than fearing the Lord, which is so important, there's two reasons why God blesses people's lives. And they are humility and gratitude. That's it, son. And if you can continue to be a person with humility, you never get over the awe of what God's done for you, because you don't really think you deserve it, because you have a humble opinion of yourself. You understand your sinfulness and you understand your limitations, and yet God did this. So you remain humble and not haughty. As long as you're humble, and the other thing God loves is God loves humility and God loves gratitude. God loves us to come back and say thank you. If you're a parent, I know, or if you're just a human being and you do something nice for someone, you give them something, you want them to come in and be grateful for what you did. Nothing feels worse than to do something for someone and they're ungrateful. I can't stand that. You probably can't either. Well, why do you think God can? He wants gratitude. And gratitude makes him happy and pleases him and makes him excited about giving us more. Now, my friends, this Christmas, I want to call upon each one of us to come to the Lord and be humble before him and say, Lord, I still can't get over what you've done for me in my life. And then I want us to come to him and be grateful and say, Lord Jesus, I just want you to know I am so thankful from the heart for what you've done for me, Lord. I can't even express it in words, but Jesus, you can see my heart, and I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I hope you'll do that this Christmas season, my believing friend. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful verse of Scripture. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift that you gave us that very first Christmas in sending the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross for us and make salvation and entry into heaven and forgiveness of sins possible when we depend on what he did for us on the cross. Lord, thank you that every one of us is whoever. That's so great. Lord, that is so great. And I pray that every person listening to this, if they've never trusted Christ, will not be put off from doing that because they're afraid they've done or said something that has made them an untouchable in your sight. No, no. They're still a whoever. And this deal is still open to them, the gospel. And Father, for those of us who already know you, oh Jesus, forgive us for our lack of gratitude. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of humility that we so often show. Lord, we're just human, and you know we tend to be proud and we tend to be ungrateful in our flesh. But God, rebuke that in us today and bring us to the foot of the cross, humble, still amazed at all you've done for us in light of who we are. And Lord, bring us to the foot of the cross to say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Okay, God bless you. Merry Christmas to you. And we'll be back next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon. And back in our study of the Gospels. Remember what we do. Say it with me. The Bible. Come on now. The whole Bible. And what? Nothing but the Bible. Oh, and one more thing. Last week I said that as a result of how I was raised, I had dissociative disorder. I was going by memory and I made a mistake. I did not have that. I had attachment disorder. Very different. So if you looked up dissociative disorder and you said, oh my gosh, this guy was out of his mind. No, I had attachment disorder. You can look that up. But the Lord Jesus came into my life and healed that. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Merry Christmas. God bless you.